Rastignac the Devil by Philip Jose Farmer. Part 1. Enslaved by a triangular-powered despotism, one lone man sets his sights to the six bright stars and eventual freedom of his world. After the apocalyptic war, the decimated remnants of the French huddled in the Loire Valley were gradually squeezed between two new and growing nations. The Colossus to the north was unfriendly, and obviously intended to absorb the little New France. The Colossus to the south was friendly, and offered to take the weak state into its confederation of republics as a full partner. A number of proud and independent French citizens feared that even the latter alternative meant the eventual transmutation of their tongue, religion, and nationality into those of their southern neighbor. Seeking a way of salvation, they built six huge spaceships that would hold 30,000 people, most of whom would be in deep freeze until they reached their destination. The six vessels then set off into interstellar space to find a planet that would be as much like Earth as possible. That was in the 22nd century, over 350 years passed before Earth heard of them again. However, we are not here concerned with the home world, but with the story of a man of that pioneer group who wanted to leave the New Gaul and sail again to the stars. Rastignac had no skin. He was nevertheless happier than he had been since the age of 5. He was as happy as a man can be who lives deep under the ground. Underground organizations are often under the ground. They are formed into cells. Cell number 1 usually contains the leader of the underground. Jean-Jacques Rastignac, chief of the legal underground of the kingdom of Le Beaupré, was literally in a cell beneath the surface of the earth. He was in jail. For a dungeon, it wasn't bad. He had 2 cells. One was deep inside the building proper, built into the wall so that he could sit in it when he wanted to retreat from the sun or the rain. The adjoining cell was at the bottom of a well whose top was covered with a grill of thin steel bars. Here he spent most of his waking hours, forced to look upwards if he wanted to see the sky or the stars. Rastignac suffered from a chronic stiff neck. Several times during the day he had visitors. They were allowed to bend over the grill and talk down to him. A guard, one of the king's mucketeers — mucketeer is the best translation of the 26th century French noun voutouki — stood by as a censor. When night came, Rastignac ate the meal let down by ropes on a platform. Then another of the king's mucketeers stood by with drawn épée until he had finished eating. When the tray was pulled back up and the grill lowered and locked, the mucketeer marched off with the turnkey. Rastignac sharpened his wit by calling a few choice insults to the night guard. Then he went into the cell inside the wall and lay down to take a nap. Later he would rise and pace back and forth like a caged tiger. Now and then he would stop and look upwards, scan the stars, hunch his shoulders, and resume his savage circuit of the cell. But the time would come when he would stand statue still. Nothing moved except his head, which turned slowly. "Someday I'll ride to the stars with you," he said it as he watched the six flying stars speed across the night sky. Six glowing stars that moved in a direction opposite to the march of the other stars. Bright as Sirius seen from Earth, strung out one behind the other like jewels on a velvet string, they hurtled across the heavens. They were the six ships on which the original Loire Valley Frenchmen had sailed out into space, seeking a new home on a new planet. They had been put into an orbit around New Gaul and left there while their 30,000 passengers had descended to the surface in chemical-fueled rockets. Mankind, once on the fair and fresh Earth of the new planet, had never again ascended to revisit the great ships. For 300 years the six ships had circled the planet known as New Gaul, nightly beacons and glowing reminders to man that he was a stranger on this planet. When the Earthmen landed on the new planet, they had called the new land Le Beaupré, or, as it was now pronounced, Le Beaupré, the beautiful country. They had been delighted, entranced with the fresh new land. After the burned, war-racked Earth they just left, it was like coming down.